hello again, everyone, and welcome. It is the 8th day of October 2019. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. This is the Daily Daily Caller Podcast. So much going on. Thank you for listening, pushing play, downloading, and all that good stuff, spreading the word. I appreciate it more than you could know. If you want to enter to win the signed copy, one of the three signed copies of Jerome Hudson's book, 50 Things They Don't Want You to Know, email Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. It's just that simple. Let me know you want that, want to be entered into that, and I shall throw your name into the digital hat, and you'll have your chance. I'll announce the winners on Friday's show, so you don't even have to wait all that long. You can also email compliments, complaints, whatever you got, to that address. Knock yourself out. I read them all. I've been a little lax lately, but I get to them, and I will get to them, I promise. Oh, there's so much going on, so much ridiculousness. Hiding the identity of the whistleblower from everybody, including Republicans on the Senate, on the House Intelligence Committee. This isn't a coup. The Democrats will call you a conspiracy theorist for pointing out that that's a little bit weird, and they don't care. They have the media to cover for them, so why should they care? Also, Elizabeth Warren caught in another lie about her past. I don't understand people who lie about their pasts, especially people in the public eye. Your past is out there. You can find this stuff. There's a paper trail. And in Elizabeth Warren's case, there's her own words, video. We'll get to all of that and much more. But first, a word from our sponsors. Look, I want to tell you about Life Change Tea. It is a game changer. Since I've been drinking Life Change Tea, I've noticed I feel so much better. I can't tell you how much more energy I have. How does it work? Life Change Tea is a proprietary herbal formula. It's a gentle daily cleanse designed to rid your body of harmful intruders. You have no idea what kind of stuff is taking its time in your body. Get that out. Let's face it, food was different 60 years ago. Minimally processed, free of pesticides, nourishing and healthy for your body. Today, not so much. GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, heavy, heavy processing. They've depleted the nutrition in our food. It's no wonder you feel run down. And you've got a bunch of it still in you. Life Change Tea takes care of that problem. Try it for yourself. Go to getthetea.com now. That's getthetea.com. Get ready for more energy. I drink it every day. It's sitting up in my refrigerator. Life Change Tea is not available in stores. Go to getthetea.com. Use promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout. You get free shipping. Give it a shot once. Follow the instructions. Don't overdo it. You'll thank me for it. You'll notice the difference, and you'll go, holy cow, what was that? Yeah, well, it's huge. It's a game changer. LifeChangeTea.com. Promo code Derek for free shipping. Okay. First, let's talk about this ridiculous story. I can't believe... I take that back. I can believe Democrats are doing this. The Washington Post story. It's amazing how they sugarcoat these sorts of things. The headline... House Democrats consider masking identity of whistleblower from Trump's GOP allies in Congress. Just right there. Oh, we gotta hide the identity of the whistleblower from those evil Republicans who are just waiting to leak it. I hope somebody does leak it, to be perfectly honest with you. If somebody is, if this person's word, the second and third hand word, is going to be used to try to impeach the president of the United States, we, the American people, have every damn right in the world to know who this person is and what their motivation might be, you know? They did not hear any of the information they reported firsthand. They got it through a game of telephone. So we're supposed to just sit back and go, well, whatever, this, they must be as pure as the wind-driven snow. Their motives could not possibly be political. They've got to be wonderful human beings. Therefore, we just accept whatever they say without any cross-examination. And that's kind of important. Without knowing the identity of the person that you're talking to, that you're questioning, you can't really get a full picture of what they have to say and what their motivation could possibly be. Yes, it is important. It's not disqualifying just because somebody's a registered Democrat would not disqualify them or immediately cause dismissal of what they say, but it does give important context. If they have a long history of social media posts saying, "I will do or say anything to bring down Donald Trump. He is a monster, and I think he stole the election." That's kind of important information, don't you think? Especially since this person was given classified material. The conversation between the president of Ukraine and the president of the United States was classified. They were given secondhand classified information. That information was wrong. There was no quid pro quo. There was a lot of what was said about that call that this person didn't hear turned out not to be true when the transcript was released. It's kind of important if you sit there and you look at this and you say, well, what the report says, what the so-called whistleblower report says, doesn't really jive with what the transcript says. So then why were you so inclined, Mr. or Ms. Whistleblower? Why were you so inclined to believe what you heard and state it as fact and so moved by what you heard second and third hand that you felt the need to file a whistleblower complaint? Of course, a whistleblower complaint long after you reached out to Democrats in Congress to find the best way to proceed. The best way to proceed, was it the best way to proceed or the most politically expedient way to proceed? See, these are the kind of questions that need to be asked, that should be asked, yet aren't being asked because you don't know who the hell you're asking. You need to know who this is. Now, I don't believe for a second that a second somebody, a Republican, finds out the whistleblower's identity, that they will run down and start calling their allies in conservative media. I don't believe that. That's what Democrats do. They may. I could be wrong about that. But I don't really think that's the case. Fox News has an interesting story here. We'll get to the Fox News story in a second about the whistleblower thing. But just to put a fine point on how Democrats are proceeding, or trying to proceed, attempting to proceed, when it comes to identifying and hiding the identity of the whistleblower, and therefore making a cross-examination of that person, or any questioning of that person, very difficult. Back to the Washington Post story we go. House Democrats are weighing extraordinary steps to secure testimony from a whistleblower whose complaint prompted their impeachment inquiry, masking his identity to prevent President Trump's congressional allies from exposing the individual, according to three officials familiar with the deliberations. Now, they could compel this person to testify. They subpoena everybody and everything. Anything related to Trump, here's a subpoena. Here you go. Here's your subpoena. You'd better show up or contempt of Congress shall rain down upon you. But when it comes to somebody that they like, that they support, why, we're working closely with their liberal activist attorneys, one of whom got their start from in the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the most radical left-wing organizations out there. Just a coincidence, by the way. So we're going to hide all of this information from Republicans. There's an impeachment inquiry going on, not an official one, but it's being treated as such, and Adam Schiff knows the identity of the whistleblower. He's claiming he doesn't, but there's no way in God's green earth he doesn't know. His staff knows. They met with the person. So he's hiding that information from Republicans. Now, contrast that with the president of the United States, who, upon this story breaking, released everything related to it. Here you go. Here's the transcript. Here you go. Here's the whistleblower report. Here you go. Here's the acting director of national intelligence. You can go up there and testify about this. Everything has been above board from the White House, and the Democrats are the ones who have been hiding things. Adam Schiff hid his meeting with the whistleblower, or his staff's meeting with the whistleblower. Kept that secret. Who's more trustworthy here? The Post continues, the steps under consideration include having the whistleblower testify from a remote location and obscuring the individual's appearance and voice, these officials said. The efforts reflect Democrats' deepening distrust of their GOP colleagues, whom they see as fully invested in defending a president who has attacked the whistleblower's credibility and demanded absolute loyalty from Democrats. Now, the framing right there of the Washington Post, the Democrats are doing this for purely holistic reasons, for wonderful reasons. They need those evil Republicans. They're just working for the president of the United States, while Democrats' motives are as pure as the wind-driven snow. Isn't that lovely? It's typical of it. It goes through a lot. It rehashes a lot of the story about the impeachment. Let's see. It says, the highly unusual arrangement. Later on in the story, the highly unusual arrangement for the whistleblower's testimony underscores the toxicity between Republicans and Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee, which was once considered among the most bipartisan, but is now spearheading the divisive impeachment investigation. One individual familiar with the discussion said this is the first time the panel has had to take such extraordinary measures to protect a witness, including from their GOP colleagues. There's no slamming of the Democrats here, saying you can't possibly have an investigation where the lead witness is unknown to half of the committee. Of course, Democrats don't want this person questioned. They don't want anybody questioned. They want everything they say taken as gospel and then just accepted. The media is ready. The media is willing. But the Republicans are kind of interested in that crazy little thing called due process. Again, we're back to sort of the Kavanaugh hearings, where the accusation is enough. Just accept it. Move on. Accusation is enough. Back to the Post. In a further sign of the breakdown of comity, the committee majority restricted access to the visitor logbook after GOP staffers leaked names of individuals signing in for job interviews when the majority was hiring new staffers in early 2009, according to a committee aide who spoke on condition of anonymity to freely describe the situation. Remember the absolute fecal storm that occurred when it was discovered, when it was reported that the White House had moved transcripts of calls with foreign leaders to a more secure server. Now, the reason the White House did that was because in the first few months of the Trump administration, transcripts of calls with world leaders and the president of the United States were leaked to the press. Remember that? The leader of Australia and the leader of Mexico, the president's talks with them were leaked to the press. Highly, highly classified material, just like the other call with Ukraine, all of them. And it hadn't really happened before. So the White House and the advice of the White House counsel said you need to secure these things because obviously somebody involved in this food chain is untrustworthy. So they put them on a new secure server that has more restricted access and logs exactly everybody who looks at it. Makes perfect sense. Democrats tried to make that into a scandal. They tried to call that obstruction. He's trying to hide this information from us. He released it. How could you be hiding something you released? Yet Democrats, they took the logbooks, the visitor sign-in logbooks, and hid those because somebody leaked names, allegedly, about people coming in for job interviews. And there is no scandal in that. This information used to be out there, used to be accessible to Republican staffers. Now it's not. Why? Because information was allegedly leaked from it. So it makes perfect sense that they want to hire a whole bunch of partisan hack left-wing activist attorneys to aid in the buildup to this bogus impeachment inquiry. Democrats don't want their card shown, so they hid what was used to be available to Republicans. Not a scandal, but when the White House decides that they need to protect classified information because it was actually leaked before, that is somehow a scandal, and Donald Trump is trying to obstruct justice. Back to the Washington Post. In the House, Democrats say that without unusual precautions for the whistleblower, Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee could learn, then leak the name of the individual who has agreed to answer questions before the Intelligence Committees in the House and Senate. What? Democrats overseeing the logistics of the testimony for the House impeachment inquiry are leaning toward a staff-only session that would prevent lawmakers from attending and asking questions, according to officials familiar with the conversation. Now, this is well down in the story, but it's kind of important, again, because Democrats are trying to shut out Republicans. I don't know if Democrats realize this, but the House of Representatives consists of people elected to represent them, people elected by the American public to represent them, right? So Democrats are saying, your representatives, forget it. You're not interested. We're going to send our staff in there. We'll let your staff in there. There will be no transparency whatsoever. You'll have no clue who you're talking to, and you can only get your information secondhand through your staff. They probably won't be able to take notes. I mean, will the Republican staffers be allowed to ask questions? Probably not. Democrats have tried to block Republicans from asking questions already in this thing. So why are we to believe that this is on the up and up? You shouldn't believe this is on the up and up, because this isn't on the up and up. Democrats, if you have nothing to hide, you shouldn't be hiding it. You want to protect the whistleblower's identity from the general public? Fine. You have no right to hide that information, especially when Democrats have it, from the Republicans up there. You want to have them testify by video link from some remote location so reporters running around can't see somebody walking in and out of Congress? That's fine, too. But the American public should have a right to know what in the hell is going on if you're trying to remove a president of the United States. At a minimum, if you don't want to televise it, a case could be made for that, although I wouldn't buy it. This is a little bit too important to keep the American public out of it. But you should not block the representatives of half the American public from participating in this or hinder their ability to participate in it fully. That's exactly what Democrats are doing. Now, if they have such a strong case, there should be no reason for any of this. There should be absolutely no reason for any of this. There is no reason for any of this if you have a strong case. We don't need the game of telephone played about what this so-called whistleblower allegedly said to staffers filtered through Democratic members of Congress, then filtered through Democratic members of the media. We should be able to hear it for ourselves, or at least have our representatives in there. They won't do it. Meanwhile, over at Fox, this is interesting, and it's not really being covered by the mainstream media. They don't care about it. Related to this, this is Catherine Herridge at Fox News. Intelligence Committee Inspector General Michael Atkinson, in testimony to House lawmakers about the whistleblower complaint on President Trump's controversial phone call with his Ukrainian counterpart, could not explain what accounted for the 18-day window between the July 25th call and the August 12th complaint filing, or when exactly the whistleblower contacted a key Democrats staff, sources familiar with the testimony told Fox News. Adam Schiff could clear this up. Adam Schiff isn't clearing this up. The whistleblower's contact with Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff's staff before filing the complaint in mid-August has prompted renewed scrutiny of Schiff. The top Democrat had previously said, quote, "We have not spoken directly to the whistleblower," end quote. But his office later revised that claim, saying that Schiff himself, quote, "does not know the identity of the whistleblower and has not met with or spoken to the whistleblower or their counsel," end quote. Sources familiar with Atkinson's closed-door transcribed interview Friday with members of the House Intelligence Committee also noted that Atkinson said that the whistleblower did not disclose the contact. Again, very, very odd. If you're doing nothing wrong, if you're doing the Lord's work, then why are you hiding it from everybody? That 18-day window with Schiff's office, as Fox News first reported on Friday. Sources said Atkinson testified that the whistleblower, in filing the complaint, left blank a section in which he or she could have disclosed that congressional contact. Very, very weird. But we're supposed to trust these people behind closed doors. And honestly, is there any human being out there who believes Adam Schiff doesn't know who this person is, or at least doesn't know their position? And if he knew their job, he could easily find out who it was. Maybe he's willfully ignorant. He's like, don't tell me. I don't want to know it. But tell me more about them. I don't want to know the name. But of course, normal people would do that for plausible deniability. Adam Schiff just lies. He doesn't need plausible deniability. He'll just straight up lie to you. He doesn't care. He's not interested in the truth. He's not interested in facts. He's not interested in evidence. He's got an agenda, and he's going to plow forward on it if he has to do it behind closed doors. This is, I know the word unprecedented is thrown around a lot these days. But this is wildly unprecedented that an impeachment would be based upon an anonymous second and third hand filing a complaint, and the identity of the person is hidden. So therefore, the identity, the position that the person holds, how this person got information, all be hidden, not only from the American public, but from lawmakers being asked, being tasked with determining the credibility of said whistleblower. You cannot determine somebody's credibility without knowing who they are. That Democrats don't want anybody, including Republicans, but most especially the American public, to know who this person is should cause everybody just a little bit of pause when it comes to their credibility. It's such a scam. It's so blatant. And the only way they're able to get away with this crap is because they know that they have cover fire from the media anytime they need it. CBS News glossed over this little fact. Push to protect the whistleblower's identity. Protect the whistleblower from retribution. To protect the whistleblower. Okay, you're going to hide? You imagine being, I mean, Kafka. This is Franz Kafka. You don't get to see your accuser. Nobody gets to see your accuser. Nobody gets to know your accuser's position and therefore assess their credibility or possible motivation. Just accept it as gospel, and then we move on from there. This is the stuff of horror movies. This is the Democratic Party. That brings us to our second sponsor. They're back. Every day, President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and their fake news allies, as I've been detailing here. He's been exonerated twice, and they're still calling for his impeachment because now they know Congress is their last hope. He needs your support now more than ever. Text the word daily to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available, and you'll be able to get your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you need to do is text the word daily to 88022. While Democrats and their fake news media have spent the last 2 years focused on bogus witch hunts, and they aren't done yet, President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source by texting the word daily to 88022. Again, text the word daily to 88022 today. This is paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. Okay, I want to move on from the impeachment drama for today. There'll be plenty. I suspect that'll be a story for a little while as Democrats desperately scramble to find a way to make their dreams come true. Talk about Elizabeth Warren. She's right up there with Joe Biden. She is fundraising queen. She fundraised more than Joe Biden did. She's polling better than Joe Biden. She's leading right now, temporarily at least, in Iowa, New Hampshire. It's still way early. One of the things about Elizabeth Warren is that she has a habit of lying about her past, her own biography, which is right in line with Joe Biden, who had to drop out of the race for the Democratic Party's nomination in 1987 because he lied about his biography. He plagiarized Neil Kinnock's biography, a UK politician, in a speech. He just lifted stuff. Again, really? He also lied about how well he did in law school. He lied about most of his biography. I've gone through that time and time again. If you look up a column I wrote on Town Hall called Our Idiot Vice President, it goes through all of Joe Biden's lies about his biography. And again, you don't have to lie about who you are. If you're secure in who you are, if you're comfortable with who you are, you don't have to lie about who you are. Now, memories fade, things like that, but saying that you graduated near the top of your class in law school when actually you were right near the bottom of your class, saying that you got a full-ride academic scholarship when you didn't get an academic scholarship at all, those sorts of things show insecurity, in my mind. That's Joe Biden. Well, Elizabeth Warren is, of course, wildly famous for pretending to be a Native American, because she has high cheekbones, and her papaw said her mamaw and papaw were horribly racist, and her parents had to marry against their wishes because one of them, I forget which, was allegedly part Native American, and you know the story, Pocahontas. It's a crap story. She did that DNA test, and she was 1,064th or 1,032nd or whatever, some sort of something that wasn't necessarily Native American, and she tried to pretend that that was vindication for her lies. It didn't work out. She then went on an apology tour for lying about it. She got jobs based on it. Her application to the Texas Bar Association noted that she was Native American. When Harvard hired her, they billed her as they've hired a woman of color, which is absurd because, as I like to say about people like Elizabeth Warren, her camouflage in a snowstorm is nudity. She completely disappears. Yet, that's not really even talked about. And that's not what I'm going to talk about here, because there's another lie that Elizabeth Warren has been telling. See, the Democratic primary is the woke Olympics. It really is a woke-off. It's just nuts how far left these people have to go to get any traction in the Democratic Party, and how far they're willing to go to get any traction in the Democratic primary. A self-respecting human being would not do what any of these Democrats are doing. Somebody somewhere would stand up and say, you people are nuts. You need to get a hold of yourselves. I'm not going to kowtow to the fringe of this country and damage this country by promising everything under the sun. Government can fix all your problems. I'm not going to do that. My human decency will not allow me to do that. But there isn't a single Democrat willing to do that, willing to stand up and say that. So they get into the woke Olympics. Well, one of the stories that Elizabeth Warren has taken to telling, well, I told you last week how she said the story of one of her first job as a law professor at some podunk school nobody's ever heard of. She said that some professor invited her to the office, closed the door, lunged at her, and chased her around the desk like a cartoon. And she was cool with it. She never named the person, which is always, to me, an indication. If you don't say who the predator is who came after you, then even this far after the fact, there could be other people out there that would now feel safe coming forward and saying, I am not alone. It wasn't just me. Oh, thank God. There's a kinship in that. That Elizabeth Warren won't name that person, I found a little telling. Well, this is another one of those kind of stories from back in the day. On the campaign trail, Elizabeth Warren likes to recount how, in her first teaching job, back when she was a special ed teacher in apparently 1970, 1971, she was fired because she got pregnant. I'm not denying that this ever happened to anybody. It back then, long before, you know, a lot of us were born, that kind of stuff was not all that uncommon. I have difficulty believing how prevalent it was. If you listen to the Democrats, it was every woman everywhere got fired the second they got pregnant. I don't think that was the case. But that it would have happened sometimes, absolutely. There were jerks back then, there are jerks now, and social norms were different. So I believe that things like this happened. I don't believe that things like this happened to Elizabeth Warren. Mostly because I've listened to Elizabeth Warren's own words, which you'll hear in just a second. But before we talk about what Elizabeth Warren used to say and what documents say about Elizabeth Warren's sad tale of woe for being fired for being pregnant, let's listen to the current iteration of Elizabeth Warren's biography from this is from one of many examples. I could have probably played about 15 examples of her telling the story, because again, to be a hit in the Democratic Party, you have to be a victim. To get ahead in liberal politics, you have to find a way to make yourself some kind of victim, whether it's because Donald Trump is being mean to you, or because somebody allegedly chased you around a room, or you're a victim of racism, sexism, homophobia, whatever it is. To get ahead in Democratic Party politics, you have to be a victim. And most people, frankly, aren't victims. So the field of 28 Democrats, or however many there are, most of them aren't victims. Probably all of them aren't really victims, and I bet many of them are perps. But Elizabeth Warren is trying to paint herself as a victim for being fired for having gotten pregnant. Here she is doing it at the National Action Network, which is Al Sharpton's little racist group, just earlier this year.
Teaching special needs kids is a calling. But I finished the first year visibly pregnant. And back in those days, it meant you didn't get invited back. That's how it was.
That's just how it was. Oh man, you get pregnant, you're out. She's allegedly, she was like 22 at the time. And that was it, man. You get pregnant, you're fired. I don't care. You get pregnant, you're fired. Get out of here. Horrible men. Probably had a sick southern accent in her story. Look, lady, you're pregnant. We don't take kindly to nobody getting pregnant around these parts. You're just going to be fired, young missy. You should stay at home, get pregnant, take your shoes off, and hang out in the kitchen all day making dinner for your husband when he comes home. That's the stereotype that she's trying to embrace, the mentality that she's trying to embrace. Well, a funny thing happened when somebody bothered to do some journalism on this. Now, Elizabeth Warren has been making this claim throughout the campaign. It's telling that it's taken until now, and it's telling that it has taken until the Washington Free Beacon decided to do some journalism on this. The Washington Free Beacon's a great outfit. I love the Washington Free Beacon, but they're a small outlet. They don't have a gigantic staff. They are not one of the vaunted fact checkers of the mainstream media. Washington Post, thousands of employees. New York Times, thousands of employees. All the cable networks and TV networks, all thousands and thousands of employees. None of them bothered to look into this. None of them thought, oh, that's weird. I'd like to verify that. Or said, that's horrible. I need to get more information on this. And if they did, it was just asking Elizabeth Warren's staff about it. And they said, yep, sure, yep, that was how it happened. And then they just moved on from there. Because the liberal media does not question Democrats. They do not doubt the stories of Democrats. If it comes out of a Democrat's mouth, it might as well have been carved into a stone tablet by a burning bush. It is the word of God to the left. Well, like I said, the Washington Free Beacon decided to do a little bit of journalism on this thing. They report, Colin Anderson reports, quote, the Riverdale Board of Education approved a second-year teaching contract for a young Elizabeth Warren, documents show, contradicting the Democratic presidential candidate's repeated claims that she was asked not to return to the teaching position after a single year because she was visibly pregnant. What? She was offered the job again? Well, she was fired because she was visibly pregnant. Those two things don't jive. Minutes of an April 21st, 1971 Riverdale Board of Education meeting obtained by the Washington Free Beacon show that the board voted unanimously on a motion to extend Warren a second-year contract for a two-day-per-week teaching job. That job is similar to the one she'd held the previous year, her first year of teaching. Minutes from a board meeting held 2 months later on June 16, 1971, indicate that Warren's resignation was, quote, accepted with regret. So how does that jive with what Elizabeth Warren is saying now? They offered her a job. The principal didn't come up and say, look, fatty, we know that you're just not eating a bunch of burgers and putting on some pounds. That's a baby in there. So we don't want your kind around here, all right? Pregnant women ain't no good for nobody. Get out of my school. It doesn't jive with that. They offered her a contract. Said, come on back. Another year, please. And then 2 months later, she resigned. Now, why would she resign? Well, for whatever reason, it was most likely that she wanted to be at home with her kids. There's nothing wrong with that, except that something as draconian and misogynistic as that, anti-feminist as that, wouldn't fly in Democratic Party politics these days. You voluntarily became a stay-at-home mom? You monster. That is ridiculous. It's disgusting. There's nothing worse you could do to sell out your gender. I couldn't possibly vote for you. That's not really all that far of an exaggeration. The Washington Free Beacon continues, Warren's claims that she was dismissed after her first year of teaching because she was pregnant has become the cornerstone of her stump speeches. She has used it to both explain her jump from teaching into the legal world as well as to showcase the difficulties that women face in the workplace. The principal of the school she worked at in the early 1970s, Warren has said, quote, showed her the door, end quote, at the end of the school year, because she was visibly pregnant. Now, when the Washington Free Beacon reached out for comment, they did not get back to the Washington Free Beacon. Well, why is that? Well, Warren did get back to CBS News. Why is that? Well, because the Washington Free Beacon is a conservative news outlet, and CBS News is a liberal news outlet. They know that by going to CBS News, whatever spin they put on it will be accepted on its face. So CBS News, a guy named Zach Hudak, and Bo Erickson, it took two reporters to put this together, they have their own piece. Warren stands by account of being pushed out of her first teaching job because of pregnancy. She stands by her account. The evidence says something completely different, but Warren stands by her account. That's their story. On the campaign trail, they write, Elizabeth Warren often tells the story of how she was fired from her first teaching job in 1971 because she was pregnant. A pivotal moment that ultimately put her on a path to Harvard. That and lying about being a Native American. The United States Senate and possibly the presidency. But recently, several media outlets have questioned the veracity of these claims. Don't you love that? We didn't. Don't worry. We didn't bother looking into this. Several other media outlets. In an exclusive interview with CBS News on Monday evening, Warren said she stands by her characterizations of why she left the job. Quote, all I know is I was 22 years old. I was 6 months pregnant, and the job that I had been promised for the next year was going to someone else. The principal said they were going to hire someone else for my job. End quote. That's it. All I know is this. Well, the document shows something different. Unanimously extended another contract. And then, regrettably, accepted your resignation. Well, how does that jive? All I know is this. Warren has repeatedly said that a principal showed her the door after discovering she was pregnant at the end of the 1971 school year. The episode is pivotal to her life story in that it dashed her dreams of remaining a public school teacher and launched her reluctantly down the path to public service. This is CBS News' reporting, but it might as well be a Warren campaign press release. Fresh out of the University of Houston, whatever, blah, 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 it goes on from there. Well, what's interesting about this, and apparently unbeknownst to CBS News, because doing journalism is not what CBS News does, is that in 2007, Elizabeth Warren did an interview with, I believe, a PBS station out at UC Berkeley. And this first teaching job, it came up. And what you're about to hear is Elizabeth Warren's own words from that interview from 2007, where she addresses her first job as a special ed teacher. Now, by my understanding of the English language and the words from that language that Elizabeth Warren chooses to string together, she she wasn't qualified for the job, yet she was able to have the job. She got an exemption to be it. She didn't have the proper certificates to be a special needs teacher or a teacher at all at the time. So she decided to go back to graduate school to try and get it. If it was her dream to be a teacher, to become a teacher, you have to go and get the degree or the certificate or whatever, depending on the state. And then Elizabeth Warren, in the course of doing that, discovered that she didn't really like it, that it wasn't for her, which contradicts a lot of what Elizabeth Warren is saying now. So she decided to stay at home and become a stay-at-home mom. She discovered that teaching really wasn't her calling, at least public school teaching or at least teaching special needs kids. Nothing wrong with that. It's much better when people in a profession realize that that profession isn't really their cup of meat and they decide to go do something else, especially something as important as teaching. I wish more teachers who don't like it secretly but just want their summers off would recognize that there are better things to do and they're doing a disservice to their students, no matter if they get their summers off or not, that they should probably find something else to do. So kudos to the 2007 version of Elizabeth Warren for discovering that about herself. But enough of my setup. Let's listen to Elizabeth Warren's own words on this very subject back in 2007.
It was in a public school system, but I worked with the children with disabilities. And I did that for a year. And then that summer, I actually didn't have the education courses, so I was on an emergency certificate, it was called. And I went back to graduate school and took a couple of courses in education and said, I don't think this is going to work out for me. And I was pregnant with my first baby. So I had a baby and stayed home for a couple of years.
That's a little bit different story than what she's telling on the campaign trail now of, hey, Tubby, I know you're pregnant. Get out of here. We don't serve your kind. We don't take kindly to women getting pregnant around these parts. How does she square that circle? Well, CBS News did actually bring that up well down in their story. Well down in their story, because it's always that way. Asked by CBS News why she told a different story at Berkeley a decade ago, Warren said her life since her election to the Senate in 2012 caused her to open up about her past. Quote, after becoming a public figure, I opened up more about different pieces of my life, and this was one of them. I wrote about it in my book when I became a U.S. Senator, she said in a statement from her campaign. Isn't that nice? A statement from her campaign. Her story's changing. And they said, well, we got this, you saying something different. Well, you know what, I've opened up about my past. Then, to their credit, CBS News does do a little bit of journalism, but again, it's buried near the end of the piece because that's how things work when you're a Democrat. Warren's change in phrasing was discussed when discussing her dismissal have sparked questions about her story's veracity And then it comes to those evil conservative outlets. Fox News cited the 2007 interview as a contradiction with her more recent statements. The Washington Free Beacon reported on a transcript from contemporaneous local school board meetings, also obtained by CBS News, which said Warren was rehired that spring and that the board accepted with regret her resignation the following summer. In fact, the school board minutes show the board voted by unanimous roll call to extend Warren a provisional certificate in speech pathology. Local newspapers report from 1971 also present reasons for her leaving the school alternative to what she describes on the trail. The Paterson News, a local paper, reported that Warren was, quote, leaving to raise a family. The next month, a story about the school board hiring a replacement said that Warren had, quote, resigned for personal reasons, end quote, even though the board had voted to appoint Warren to the same speech pathology job that April. It's kind of weird how this has evolved, shall we say. CBS News then asked her to comment on this. Quote, when someone calls you in and says the job that you've been hired for the next year is no longer yours, we're giving it to someone else, I think that's being shown the door, Warren said. Yet all records indicate that she resigned with regret to spend time with her family. Yet somehow CBS News headline, Warren stands by her account. Warren stands by her account. It's not until you read further down into it that you find out that, you know what, there's a little bit more to this story. Elizabeth Warren can't tell the truth about her biography. And I'm not saying that as if it is some sort of deficiency in her character, although it kind of is. It is that she can't tell the truth. Not that she's unwilling to, but as a Democratic Party candidate, you have to be woke. You have to have been a victim. If you are not a victim, if you have not been a victim, if you have not suffered at the hands of the patriarchy, if you have not suffered at the hands of capitalism, if you have not suffered at whatever hands of whatever boogeyman is convenient for any Democrat at any given moment, they won't give you the time of day. So Elizabeth Warren had to go back to, what, almost 50 years to manufacture, to find some way to claim victim status so that she could be seen as woke enough to be a potential Democratic candidate. Will this story have legs? It's doubtful. It's doubtful. It's not earth-shattering. It's not massive. And taken by itself, it's one thing. And I think it would be dismissed largely, certainly by Democratic Party voters, because they'll just say, well, it's the system. It's so misogynistic. It was worse in 1971. It's still just as bad or nearly as bad now. So, of course, the patriarchy is trying to attack Elizabeth Warren. I don't think this one will get legs, but it is another piece of the puzzle. It is part, an important part, of a mosaic of Elizabeth Warren. Finding little tidbits of her information, I have no doubt that her stories are somewhat based in truth, maybe, but she then exaggerates them. And then stands by the exaggeration or just goes, oh, shucks, I don't know. Don't ask me about it. That's the way I remember it, which is a problem, quite frankly. Not a problem for Democrats. I mean, she'll get away with it individually, but no one in the mainstream media, I suppose, would cobble together all of her little indiscrepancies in her memory relative to the facts available. So she's protected in that sense. But I just find it very interesting that this is coming out now. It had to come out through conservative news outlets. It's sort of soft-pedaled by the mainstream media, and then they can all wash their hands of it and say, this is old news if it ever comes up again. It's kind of the Bill Clinton playbook. The Clinton playbook in general, it wasn't just Bill, it was Hillary too. They would deny. Then eventually the truth would come out and they would say, that's old news. Come on. Who cares about that sort of stuff? You drag it out as long as you possibly can so that people get sick of hearing it, that the lie sort of becomes not only accepted, but dismissed. And then you say, well, what difference does it make? You knew this all along. We're moving on. There are more important things to discuss. It's how Democrats operate these days. This next story, I got a lot of emails about wanting me to weigh in on. And if I had time yesterday, I would have mentioned it. But today, it's still relevant, still going on. It involves the NBA. And I need to preface it by saying I hate basketball. I have always hated basketball. I was always the tallest kid in class, and I was always asked if I played basketball. I did not play basketball. I played hockey. I played baseball. I did not play basketball aside from screwing around. Wasn't particularly good at it. Didn't enjoy it. I don't enjoy watching it. I don't know how you get excited about watching a guy who's 7 feet tall jump a foot and slam a ball through a hoop. It's done. It's been done every possible way it can be done. And you watch like the highlights of the week. Here's the sports play of the week. And inevitably it's some gigantic guy slam dunking over some other gigantic guy that you like. Is this week's or last week? I don't know which it is. And so it just doesn't interest me. The games are too long. The only thing that matter are the last 2 minutes. They take as long as the rest of the game to play. Somehow you get a timeout and you go back and you get the ball out at half court, which doesn't make any sense to me. I don't care about basketball. But this is interesting because there's a guy named Daryl Morey. He is the general manager of the Houston Rockets. And he made the mistake of assuming that the NBA's policy of being able to speak out about politics any way you want and any time you feel like it applied to anything that doesn't toe the liberal line. Because the basketball players and a lot of the coaches are very anti-Trump. They're very anti-Republican. They're super duper woke. They're super in support of Colin Kaepernick. Maybe they should hire him. You know, if they think he should be in sports so badly, maybe somebody should hire him. Well, this guy, Daryl Morey, tweeted out his support for the protesters in Hong Kong and the support for freedom in Hong Kong, freedom from tyranny, freedom from communism. He tweeted out, quote, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong." He actually just tweeted out an image that said that, and the feces hit the fan. Now, why does the NBA hate freedom? Probably. But in China, in particular, they love Chinese money. There's billions of dollars in television revenue available to the NBA in China. They're having games over in Asia this year. They're spending, all these sports are sending people. There's like a hockey game in the Czech Republic. They did baseball in London. They've done football in London. They've done football all over the place. And that's just going to continue. And that's fine. But to kowtow to the Chinese communist monsters over there who are responsible for more death and suffering than any other country in the face of the earth, look up the numbers, is disgusting. So as soon as he tweeted that out, like I said, the feces hit the fan. Then the owner of the Houston Rockets, a guy named Tillman Fertitta, I think. I don't know who this guy is. He's chairman and sole shareholder of Landy's Incorporated, Golden Nugget Hotels and Casino, and the Houston Rockets. He's a very, very rich guy. And very, very rich guys, particularly casino owners, they love them some Chinese billionaires. They love the whales that come over from Asia. They make a fortune off of them. So, of course, Tillman doesn't really give a crap about the people of Hong Kong or the people of China. He cares about the rich people of China. He tweeted out, quote, D. Morey, listen, D. Morey does not, and he put not in caps, speak for the Houston Rockets. Our presence in Tokyo is all about the promotion of the NBA internationally, and we are not, again, in caps, a political organization. Then Daryl Morey, who was recognizing that his job may be in jeopardy, he took back to his Twitter account, deleted the offensive tweet supporting liberty and freedom for oppressed people in Hong Kong. You imagine you have to delete that. And tweeted, quote, I did not intend my tweet to cause any offense to Rockets fans and friends of mine in China. I was merely voicing one thought based on one interpretation of one complicated event. Yeah, the government trying to stamp out freedom. That's a complicated event. It could go either way. Who knows? I've had a lot of opportunity since that tweet to hear and consider other perspectives. Translation, league muckety mucks and the team owner called up and said, "Hey, we get money from China. You like your job? You want to keep your job? You better pull that crap down." He continues, "I have always appreciated the significant support our Chinese fans and sponsors have provided, and I would hope that those who are upset will know that my offending or misunderstanding them was not my intention. My tweets are my own and in no way represent the Rockets or the NBA." Immediately, that was written by committee. You just know that was written by committee. It's so ridiculous. It's kind of funny. You stand up for liberty, you stand up for against communism crushing people in Hong Kong, and you must retract it, you must apologize. Yet people like George Popovich and Steve Kerr are out there spewing nonstop hatred of the president and Republicans in general. And it's okay. It's cool. They get glowing press pieces. The UK Guardian on Steve Kerr said, had a piece entitled, quote, "He would be an incredible president, colon, Steve Kerr is U.S. sports voice of reason." And they go through all the various things that he has said that are bashing President Trump. Well, Kerr, who is loves to talk about liberal policies and support of liberalism, was asked about, "Hey, you know, what do you think about this tweet? What do you think about the idea of freedom in Hong Kong? What do you think of the Chinese communist oppressive government clamping down on freedom in Hong Kong?" And the audio is really bad, but there's a transcript here. He says, quote, "Actually, I don't. It's really bizarre. It's a really bizarre international story, and a lot of us don't know what to make of it." You don't know what to make of it. You don't know what to make of a police state firing on unarmed civilians and trying to oppress their population. I don't know what to think of it. Lets you know a lot about the left, doesn't it? "So it's something I'm reading about, just like everybody else, but I'm not going to comment further than that." Not going to comment further than that. People are being oppressed, arrested, killed, and you're going, "Oh, you know what, I don't know, there's a good guy, bad guy, who knows. What I've found is that it's easy to speak on issues I'm passionate about and that I feel like I'm well versed on, and I've found that it makes the most sense to stick to topics that fall in that category. And apparently the concept of liberty for all mankind doesn't fall into that category for Steve Kerr. So I try to keep my comments to those things, and so it's not difficult. It's more, I'm just trying to learn." And then he finishes, "My brother-in-law is actually a Chinese history professor, and I emailed him today to tell me what I should be learning about all this and what's happening. So I'm trying to learn just like everybody else." How much learning does it take to recognize that communism is bad? Anybody have any idea how much learning it takes? Anybody? That oppressing people, that hurting people, that killing people is bad. Well, the guys at South Park did an episode, apparently it was last week, about the forced labor camps in China, where, by the way, Muslims are being oppressed by the millions. Democrats are supposed to care about that, right? That's what they say they care about. They're strangely silent on it. Well, because South Park was critical of China, the Chinese government pulled all of South Park from their internet. Yeah, government control of the internet. Isn't that great? It's what Democrats want here. To that end, and in response to that, the guys at South Park released a statement. quote, is official apology to China from Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Quote, like the NBA, we welcome the Chinese censors into our homes and into our hearts. We, too, love money more than freedom and democracy. President Xi President Xi doesn't look just like Winnie the Pooh at all. Tune in to our 300th episode Wednesday at 10. Long live the great Communist Party of China. May this autumn's sorghum harvest be bountiful. We good now, China? End quote. That is from South Park. The NBA released a statement denouncing Daryl for his comments calling and supporting freedom. There's a huge difference there. The NBA pulled their All-Star game from Charlotte, North Carolina, because they said that you should use the bathroom that goes with your gender. And the NBA was outraged by that. They took to the streets. They pulled their All-Star game from it, the city, because of it. But Chinese communism oppressing Hong Kong, they couldn't care less, because they're a bunch of raging, monstrous, fraudulent hypocrites. I'm glad I don't like the NBA. I'm glad they've never gotten a penny from me. And I suspect that streak will continue. In the She's Single Now, Fellas file, Ilhan Omar, after denying there were any marital problems, has filed filed for divorce. New York Post, Representative Ilhan Omar has filed for divorce from the father of her three kids, claiming the marriage is irretrievable amid allegations that she had an affair with a D.C.-based political consultant, Tim Minette, who her campaign paid $230,000 and has traveled with her quite a bit on the campaign's dime. The freshman congresswoman split from husband Ahmed Hirsi on Friday in Minnesota, the state she represents, the Post has learned. Omar filed on her 37th birthday. Isn't that lovely? They were married in a religious ceremony in 2002. The two separated in 2008, then legally remarried in 2018. In the interim, she allegedly married her brother. It's going to make the family reunion either really, really awkward or really, really awkward, because everybody's going to try and hook up with Aunt Ilhan or something. I don't know. You don't fish off the family pier. That's all I'm saying. So she's single out there, fellas. The New York Post also reports that she's blaming her political foes and the media for killing her marriage. New York Post reports U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar suggested Monday that the press and her political foes are partly to blame for the demise of her marriage. Quote, Ilhan and Ahmed have been the object of speculation and innuendo from political opponents and the media, according to a statement from her lawyer referring to the Minnesota congresswoman and her husband. This has taken a significant toll on Ilhan, Ahmed, and their three children. As with all marriages, this is intensely personal and a difficult time for the family. Just like any other family navigating this kind of transition, Ilhan wishes to have their privacy respected for themselves and their children and will not be commenting any further. Yes, it's her political opponents and the media's fault that her marriage fell apart, not her banging another dude who is also married. That had nothing to do with it. It's the damn reports on her banging another dude. Isn't that lovely? Couldn't happen to a nicer lady. Finally today, if you thought James Comey's book last year was so boring that it finally just fade away, that it was a dry recitation of a boring man, well, CBS looked at it and said, there's gold in them there pages. They are filming a 4-hour miniseries based on James Comey's book. 4 hours. Really? Honestly? They've cast Jeff Daniels to play James Comey and Brendan Gleeson to play Donald Trump in the miniseries. I didn't realize miniseries were still a thing. Well, it turns out that James Comey's personal assistant was taking gifts from journalists for information, including sports tickets, and then lied about it to investigators repeatedly. I wonder if that will be portrayed in the CBS miniseries. Somehow, I doubt it. But isn't this how it works? The left uses the apparatuses, all the apparatus that they control. Is it apparatuses or apparati? Whatever. Every apparatus that they control to elevate the people they want to elevate and defend them, protect them from criticism. They are going to lionize James Comey while James Comey has been lying to the American public and perhaps to investigators. We shall see how that pans out when the Inspector General comes out. But, you know, it's nice to know that you can land on your feet. And he probably got a couple of $1 million for the book rights so that they could make this miniseries. So they always just feed their own. They protect their own. They have this little insular cocoon where everything is all right. Liberals fail up. James Comey was a disgrace, and he's disgraced himself since he left office, but he did it in the cause of liberalism, and that's enough. Here's $10 million, Jimmy. We're going to film your life, and we're going to make you look like a hero. Such a total and complete scam. They've already made one movie about Michelle and Barack Obama's first date. I'm sure there are going to be a whole bunch of other drooling biographical movies made about him. About Hillary Clinton, they'll do the same thing. Do you remember the show That's My Bush on Comedy Central? I think it was done by the South Park guys. There were at least three TV shows about George W. Bush being a moron while he was still president. Yet there's nothing similar for any Democrat while they were in office. They haven't even really skewered the Clintons, aside from that god-awful movie Primary Colors, which really wasn't even that bad about Bill Clinton. There's no, you know, mocking of Barack Obama in Hollywood. There's no mocking of any Democrat in Hollywood. You can't tell me that Al Gore's existence isn't a gold mine for hypocrisy and comic gold. They won't go near it. They won't touch it. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. I went on a little long, but I don't care. I'm Derek Hunter. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for sharing and all of that good stuff. Don't forget to text the word CALLER to 88022. Don't forget to check out Life Change Tea. GetTheTea.com. Don't forget to email me if you want to enter to win a copy of Jerome Hudson's book signed by him. And be back here tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast.
I finished the first year visibly pregnant. And back in those days, it meant you didn't get invited back. That's how it was.